It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
I'm calling on Biden to stop promoting his anti-vaccine theories because all they're doing is hurting the importance of what we're doing. And I know that if they were in this position, they'd be saying how wonderful it is. They're recklessly endangering lives.
Yeah, Sandy Rios with you. The president did a press conference yesterday, pretty remarkable. Spent a very long time and took, you know, all the questions of all the reporters over and over again. Some of us wished he hadn't, because I think one girl in the front row asked maybe 6 questions in a row. Same thing that the Redfield, the head of the CDC, had testified before Congress on the vaccine and on other things. And the president was saying something different than what Redfield was saying. And how could he do that? And that was what they were hammering him, and he was fighting back. All right, so Griff Jenkins actually reported on that this morning, and I thought you might find it interesting. Let's listen.
President Trump's blasting Biden's doubts while he made a big announcement from the White House podium saying that once the FDA approves a vaccine, the government is on track to distribute up to 100 million doses by year's end, which he says could be rolled out as soon as next month. But CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield contradicted the president, offering lawmakers a very different timeline.
When is it going to be generally available to the American public so we can begin to take advantage of vaccine to get back to our regular life? I think we're probably looking at late second quarter, third quarter 2021.
The president took exception to that and is challenging Redfield's claim now.
I think he made a mistake when he said that. It's just incorrect information. And I called him. And he didn't tell me that, and I think he got the message maybe confused. Maybe it was stated incorrectly. No, we're ready to go immediately as the vaccine is announced.
He also criticized Redfield for suggesting face masks could be more effective protection against the virus than a vaccine. Meanwhile, Biden casting doubt on the president's plan and going a step further towards a national mask mandate, claiming he would have the authority to enact one if elected, saying on vaccines, well, there's one person he particularly distrusts.
I trust vaccines. I trust scientists. But I don't trust Donald Trump. I've been calling for an effective distribution plan to be laid out for months. They haven't put one in place for real yet.
And we're likely to hear more on this as both candidates are traveling today. Biden heads to his hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania for a town hall, while the president heads to a rally in Wisconsin.
All right, so the president was one of the major takeaways from that press conference is something all of you know, that the Democrats for some reason are, well, we know why. The president and Scott Atlas and his team have managed to get several very highly respected pharmaceutical companies to all go in on finding a proper vaccine. They've been competing with one another. I guess that's what capitalism is, right? So they're trying to get that vaccine out. And of course, Redfield said it wouldn't be ready till what, spring of 2020, whatever he said. Robert Redfield, of course, is the head of the CDC. And I want to give you a little background on him, and as a mini bit of background, you will recall, maybe you will recall, that when 4 months ago, when Deborah Birx and Dr. Fauci were on the platform every day giving these coronavirus updates, remember that? This is Deborah Birx, the one with the scarf. Anybody remember Deborah Birx saying that she didn't trust anything that came out of the CDC? Now, I've been telling you for a long time, but I'll repeat it, that the CDC has been taken over by the left for a long time, even when I was back with CWA, and that would be in the early 2000s. And so their information, it's hit and miss. That doesn't mean that everything they publish and report is false, but it means that it's controlled and managed. And Robert Redfield, I don't know who appointed him because I didn't have time to check, but I'm guessing because a lot of the heads of the agencies are still Obama appointees, he may be one of those. And it's interesting to me that Deborah Birx would say on that platform during a briefing that she didn't trust anything coming out of the CDC. All right, so let me give you a little bit more information on the CDC. Really interesting stuff. The president issued an executive order. I think I mentioned it on this call. I'm on calls a lot. I think I mentioned that to you, but if I didn't, I surely need to tell you that the White House has issued I don't know if it's executive order or directive, and the Education Department has picked up on that, and they are no longer, the Education Department has nothing to do with this particular thing. This has to do with agencies, federal agencies. This was Russ Vought. They issued an order. He's the head of the OPM. He issued an order that critical race theory and other things like that, these kind of really inflammatory training seminars, can no longer be conducted in federal agencies. They were teaching critical race theory at the Treasury Department. They were teaching it at the FBI. Is that a shock? Yeah, kind of like, haven't they cleaned up their act yet? I guess not. And so it's been like, this is what's been happening in Washington, D.C. If you wonder why the agencies are so opposed to the president, is because they are housed, they're led by people that hate the president, that hate the country. They're populated by Obama appointees, and they still are. There have been some changes in the last, 4 years of President Trump, but it's not a great change because there are so many people and it's hard to get rid of people. So in CDC, guess what? They were also teaching critical race theory. The Centers for Disease Control, that's important. That's important. And Treasury, that's very important, but that's what they're teaching the employees. So they decided to ignore the president's directive on that and just teach it anyway. But President Trump responded very powerfully, and he told them, no way, you're not going to be doing that. And the president has shut down the CDC's critical race theory seminars after the CDC disobeyed that order. So that is really good news. So I'm going to major on the CDC for a minute more, if I could. This is really amazing. Okay, so just put on your thinking caps, as my mother would say, as I share this with you. You have seen Michael Caputo on television before, because he's been the spokesperson for Health and Human Services. Health and Human Services is that department led by Roger Severino, who was our guest, 6 weeks, maybe 2 months ago. Roger is the husband of Carrie Severino. Carrie is the activist on judicial nominations, both conservative. She and Roger, too, very pro-life. They've got, 7 of their own children. So I just want to give you a little insight. They were appointed by President Trump, and not Carrie, she's not part of the government, but her husband, Roger. So Health and Human Services has been doing some great things that you haven't even heard of, but tremendous changes, like the reestablishment of the differences between genders and all of that in wherever the Health and Human Services agencies touch on policy in the government. They've been straightening that up, but a lot more than that. So Michael Caputo's been their spokesperson. Okay, so Michael speaks out in an interview, and this is what he said. I'll read it to you. This is from the New York Post. The top spokesman at Health and Human Services accused scientists at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention of sedition for their response to coronavirus pandemic, and warned people to buy guns and ammo because an insurrection led by Democrats could start on Inauguration Day if President Trump refuses to stand down. That's according to a report on Monday. Michael Caputo, who was appointed by the president to be the Health and Human Services spokesman in April, claimed, without providing evidence, that the CDC was creating a haven for a resistance unit working to undermine Trump. Caputo also said his life could be in danger. You understand that they're going to have to kill me, and unfortunately, I think that's where this is going, he told his followers in a live video posted on his Facebook page on Sunday. He also predicted that Trump will win re-election, but Joe Biden, the Democratic presidential nominee, won't concede. And when Donald Trump refuses to stand down at the inauguration, the shooting will begin. The drills that you've seen are nothing. If you carry guns, buy ammunition, ladies and gentlemen, because it's going to be hard to get. There are scientists who work for this government who do not want America to get well, not until after Joe Biden is president. The department in a statement called Caputo a critical, integral part of the president's coronavirus response, leading on public messaging as Americans need public health information to defeat the COVID-19 pandemic. Caputo told the Times that he and his family have been continually threatened since joining the administration. This weighs heavily on us, and we deeply appreciate the friendship and support of President Trump as we address these matters and keep our children safe. But he vowed to stay in his government post, saying, "I'm not going anywhere. I swear to God, as God is my witness, I'm not stopping." All right, I can't verify that, but I've seen Michael Caputo. I know the people that work in Health and Human Services, and I'm inclined to think that there at least is some partial truth to that. I can't imagine him lying about that. That's the CDC, and that's the one that President Trump, Robert Redfield that he took on in that press conference yesterday, because Robert Redfield testified in Congress that the vaccine would not be ready by, you know, on time, and whatever else he said. And the president said, "I think he made a mistake. I don't think he meant to say that. I think that was a mistake." Well, Dr. Atlas, Scott Atlas, who was on the president's coronavirus team, had a response to that. He had a lot. He had a significant portion of that press conference yesterday too. But in regard to the vaccine, and in response to President or Joe Biden's accusations that this vaccine cannot be trusted, this is what Dr. Atlas said. This is clip 8.
So what's happening that people don't understand is there's a data safety monitoring board of outside experts. They are not even in the government. These are experts in the field that are the only ones that are looking at the data. There is absolutely no possibility, zero possibility of anyone in the government, in the White House, anyone else from influencing the clinical trial that's going on. There's an efficient process going on to have at least one safe and efficient vaccine. It is highly likely, from what everyone says, it will be available by the end of the year. When it is safe and effective, it will be deemed that by the people who are outsiders looking at the data, and then they will submit it to the FDA for what's called an emergency use authorization.
All right, so that's Dr. Scott Atlas. It's just in part. He's just making the point that, no, this vaccine is not going to be controlled by government employees. These are outside agencies, and he went through a lot of the people that he's contacted with. You remember that Scott Atlas has been removed from YouTube because, of course, you know, he doesn't say what the World Health Organization thinks you should say, which is controlled by China. Yeah, it's just amazing. It's amazing what's happening. I want to transition for a second to something else that's really important. Does anyone know what day today is? Anybody? Anybody know? Well, it's September the 17th, yes, but it's Constitution Day. This was the day that the Constitution was completed and signed by a majority of the delegates attending the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia. And if you haven't read the Constitution, maybe some of you never have. Probably those of you who are, you know, went to school in the last 20, 30 years have not. You that are older listeners have. You had to pass a test on the Constitution even to graduate from middle school, from junior high. Remember that? You had to learn it, and you had to make a good grade on it. It is an incredible document. The Bill of Rights, there's been nothing like it in the history of man. Nothing like it. We've had some other things like some other things that came out of England that were sort of precursors to sort of the breath or the hint of people being free, but nothing that was so wedded to really Christian principles, biblical principles, the ability to write a document that had lasting effect. And if we followed it now, the principles, they try to write principles, not particular, so it would last through the ages. It is something. In fact, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Electoral College and the genius of the Founding Fathers to fold that in when they crafted the Constitution. You'll understand after you listen tomorrow. All right, so this is Constitution Day. It's also the day when the protesters are laying siege to the White House. I'll be talking about that in just a second when we return, because I think you'll want to know. And there's a counter effort that I also want you to know about. So please stay tuned. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
That changed my life just from that ultrasound picture.
When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
A judge in Nevada said that casinos had more rights than churches do.
The culture war rages in America.
We have to be very, very suspicious of this transition in our society that's being forced on us by movements like Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
It's a threat to our families, a threat to our future as a nation.
And so what we see happening in our society is the empowerment of the spiritual darkness that will allow the slaughter of children.
Hosted by Walker Wildman, the upcoming AFA at Home virtual town hall brings vital insight from defenders of the faith, Dr. Richard Land, Star Parker, Abraham Hamilton III, Sandy Rios, the Benham Brothers, and Tim Barton. AFA at Home streams live Thursday, October 8th at 7 p.m. Central at afaaction.net. Register for free at afaaction.net.
This is a spiritual battle, and we all are required to toe the line and take a stand.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
A few days ago, I told you about Jared Bentley and Brady Williams, two high school football players from Morrow, Ohio. The boys had asked permission to carry flags honoring the police department and the fire department onto the field during a recent football game at Little Miami High School. But the school district refused, and they told the boys there would be repercussions if they defied their orders. So the boys did just that, and they were suspended indefinitely from the team. Now, just a few hours after I shared that story with you on the radio, you fine folks lit up the phones at the high school. The outcry was so great, the school board decided to overturn their decision, and the boys are now back on the team. However, they still have to pay a price for disobeying the principal. That decision will be left up to the football coach, and I suspect the boys are going to be doing stadiums until the cows come home. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
On the political scene, one of the Democratic candidates is Senator Joseph Biden. Have you seen the problem he's been having? He went around and made a speech, and apparently he quoted a British politician, took his speech and kind of paraphrased it as his own. And then the press got on him, and then he was charged also with taking part of Bobby Kennedy's speeches. And Biden says, not to worry, he reassured his staff. He said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Okay, so some of you won't get that. That was Johnny Carson. And Johnny Carson was the late night host on television on NBC. Well, it was at one time on NBC for years and years. And some of you would not remember him. In fact, Adam, do you remember Johnny Carson? Do you know the name? Oh, he doesn't hear me. I was just wondering if the younger generation even knew who Johnny Carson was. But he's talking about that is a joke about Joe Biden. When he ran for president in 1980, he actually had to drop out of the race because he kept using speeches of other people, and he would paraphrase them and then use them. And it was a British politician and other people that he used And so that was why Johnny Carson, he finally had to drop out, because that was so offensive to people that he would take other people's words and present them as his own. So that was the Joe Biden of yesteryear, and now we have the Joe Biden of today. I want to get serious, because there is something happening today. It is Constitution Day, and it is a day to really get out your little handy constitution, get a pocket constitution, and make sure you're teaching your kids. Make sure if they're not learning it in school, teach them at home. It's not that hard. You can refresh. You can read it yourself and discover it together. I think at least by the time kids get to be 11 or 12, they should be introduced to this and just read the marvel of it. And of course, David Barton of Wall Builders, I have some great information about this. But you don't have to go to, you know, make it simple. Just get, you know, look it up online. And even if you don't understand all the background on each thing that's written, or there may be some phrases that are obscure to you, you'll get the gist of it, and you will marvel at it. You will marvel at it. So do that with your kids. That would be a great way to make sure that, you know, even if you cannot interject history and kind of sort out all the bad things they're learning in school, that would make a tremendous impression if they understood what their founding fathers and the establishment of this country really stood for. Well, so September 17th is also a different day, and that's the day when the anarchists have decided to lay siege to the White House. And I have in my hand, there's a picture of the White House. This is all in black and white, of course. And then it says in like horror show script, you know, where it's kind of dripping like blood at the top. It says, "The White House siege." Then there's a picture of the White House, and then you see a group of people that, I swear that this looks so much like communist posters. Can you imagine that they would do a poster that looks like communist people dressed in, you know, communist uniforms, which are just bland. The communists are known for, and they don't only eradicate, take out statues and change history, and they take away national music, they take away national customs, they take away the clothing that your culture wears, and then you all get to wear these lovely uniforms. If you don't believe that, look back at North Korea, look back at Russia, look back at Red China. Look at Cuba. Everybody wears military uniforms in a communist regime. It's lovely. So that's what this looks like. All these little stylish Antifa people won't fit in because they have too much style, you see, with their little anarchist uniforms. But this is all looks very communist, with a fist waving at the White House. So they're laying siege as of today. And this is what they say by the way, it's interesting to me that, you know, if you Google this, the White House siege on Google, why, it comes right up and tells you how to get there and what to take. And it's just amazing, you know, it just comes right up. Now, Scott Atlas won't come right up, and other things, you know, other conservative outlets won't come right up, but the siege, you know, White House siege, it comes right up. So this is what they say. The Occupy anniversary arrives September 17, 2020, and it may be the perfect day to trigger another global Big Bang movement, a massive collective action of the sweetest kind of disobedience. Politicians and corporate criminals continue to savage the public trust with impunity, and all the while, this howling void of a president, his sins too many to name, sits smugly atop a corona death toll that may surpass 200,000 Americans by Christmas. Problem is, the CDC, even the CDC just came out with a report that said, oh, sorry, 96% of the people that we reported that died of COVID really didn't die of COVID. But I guess hashtag White House Siege didn't get that memo. Anyway, they're telling people how to come. They're telling them what to wear. The White House siege will electrify the U.S. election season, and it doesn't stop there. Drawing wind from hashtag MeToo, hashtag BLM, and hashtag Extinction Rebellion, and protests against Trump's lethal bungling of coronavirus, we'll inspire a global movement of systemic change, a global spring, a cultural heave towards a true world order. And if your hair's not standing up on the back of your neck yet, well, it should be. Does anybody remember the Arab Spring? That's what Obama called it while people were being massacred and beheaded all over the Middle East. He called it the Arab Spring and was embracing all of the radical leaders in the Middle East, except for the ones in Egypt who were actually not doing that. He helped the overthrow of Hosni Mubarak because Hosni Mubarak was not allowing this kind of spring in Egypt. But they fixed that. So they have tactical briefings here, which I'm not going to get into, but of course you can find it online because Google's happy to make it available to you. But that's happening today. They're starting today. I want to, before I expand on that a little bit, tell you something really cool, though. Someone sent me this also online, 50-plus days of blessing. And I just got it this morning. I didn't know about this. And it says, our vision, we have set our hearts as Ezekiel of old. God has given us a mandate to stand in the gap before him on behalf of the nation, from Ezekiel 22. Our nation has been under siege by spirits of lawlessness. Knowing the White House is the global beacon for free people, these forces of chaos have called for a siege from September 17th to November 3rd. In response, God has called us to stand as watchmen at the governmental gate of our nation. Our assignment is to lay siege with 50 days of blessing. Our goal is political, not spiritual. Join us in Lafayette Park, situated between the Black Lives Matter Plaza, where the anarchists plan to be. Stand with us. Proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Engage in worship, praise, and 24/7 prayer. Create an atmosphere filled with the Prince of Peace. And you wonder about this, how you could participate. They say they need singers, musicians, intercessors, watchmen, volunteers, evangelists, and the entire remnant of the church to contend against these dark Marxist and Antichrist ideologies. Please distribute this to your churches, pray in your church ministries and other spheres of influence. And this is called 50 Plus Days of Blessing. We'll put this link on our Facebook page because maybe some of you can make it, just go, for heaven's sake. It's going to be for 50 days. So you can, you know, if you can't go today, obviously, I'm sure they're setting up camp, you know. They have to prepare for their dark deeds. But you can go to D.C. and counter that. And what a wonderful opportunity. Really, it is 50-plus days of blessing. And by the way, Franklin Graham is, I think I've mentioned this, but I want to mention it again. On September 26th, there will be a march, a prayer march in Washington. I'm going to be there. We're going to march from Lincoln Memorial to the Capitol and pray for our country. And then also on the 26th on the National Mall, there will be an event called The Return. It's being driven by Jonathan Cahn, who wrote The Harbinger. But also Anne Graham Lotz will be there. General Jerry Boykin will be there. Lots of people that you know will be there. So I'm going to be both places, just praying, marching, you know, doing whatever, doing what I, you know, when you think about the protesters that will be there, it's an interesting situation. But I'm maybe this is a foolish thing to say, but I have to say, I'm not afraid. Maybe I will be afraid, but I'm not afraid. I want to be there. I want to pray. I want to be there and pray for my country. And I'm going to do that. And if you want to go, you can find that online too. The Return, you can find, you have to sign up. I don't exactly know what the protocol is going to be for safety, but you have to sign up so they know who's coming. And Franklin Graham's march, I think you can find it at the Billy Graham Association, but if you just Google and, you know, DuckDuckGo it, whatever it is you're doing, you'll be able to find it and come join us in D.C. For that. This is another thing someone sent me. This is a copy of a flyer for Antifa, and it's instructions for Election Day. It says, Election Day nears, comrades. Prepare to defend your rights. Antifa comrades, on November 4th, don't forget to disguise yourself as patriots / Trump supporters. Wear MAGA hats, USA flags, 3%er insignias, and a convincing police uniform is even better. This way, police and patriots responding to us won't know who their enemies are, and onlookers and the media will think there are Trump supporters rioting, so it's harder to turn popular opinion against us. So this is kind of what we're up against. I mean, it is an all-out revolution for them. And some of you are still, you know, waking up slowly to that notion, but you know that it's true. And as a matter of fact, I still want to play this for you. This is Darren Beatty's was on with Tucker. Tucker's been doing such yeoman work on all this stuff. Darren is with Revolver News, which I often use. And Darren talks about, he gave a different explanation of what's going on that I had not heard, and I want you to hear it. So let's listen to Darren Beatty's.
Yes, thank you for having me. Many have described the actions taken against Trump as a coup. And this is certainly correct, but it's a little bit general and vague. What's unfolding before our eyes is a very specific type of coup called the color revolution. It's a regime change model favored by many in our national security apparatus, particularly against Eastern European countries, to overthrow target regimes that they don't like. One model, which is not the color revolution model, is purely sending a bunch of troops into a country and removing by military force a leader you don't like. That's like the Iraq model.
Right.
The color revolution model is a little bit more delicate and subtle. It has several characteristics, but the chief characteristics of it is a combination of an engineered contested elections scenario combined with massive mobilized protests, which they call, as a term of art, peaceful protests and acts of civil disobedience. If that sounds familiar, it gets even better. It's not only the same strategies and tactics used against Trump that's used against Eastern European dictators that our national security apparatus doesn't like. It's literally the same people who are color revolution professionals who have a long history of using these same tactics against foreign leaders they don't like to use against democratically elected President Donald Trump. It's the same people using the very same playbook.
All right, so that's Bates is his last name. And he goes on in the next part with Tucker to talk about the guy who's really running all this. He calls his name out and there's a picture of him. And he said he's the one that's behind all of these lawsuits against President Trump. He said there really is a leader of this. And he was part of the Obama administration. So it's pretty interesting stuff. We'll put the entire interview on our Facebook page because I think you should see that so that you have better understanding of what's going on. Well, I've gotten lots of interesting email and Facebook posts from you. And as always, I try my best to read them all. I can't talk about and I can't respond. I do not have the bandwidth. So have mercy on me. I know it's hurtful to some of you. I still know that some of you get disappointed that you don't ever hear from me. Just know I just can't. Think of Moses. I'm not Moses, but think of Moses when he was trying to manage all the things he was trying to manage, and it was just more than he could do. And that's where kind of I am. It isn't because I don't care about you or I disregard your opinions. I do. It's a one-way conversation. Yes, you talk to me, and I do read and listen. But I apologize for that. But I want to go to this one before we take the break, and then we're going to open the phone lines. This is from Bradley. Bradley's a pastor in Indiana, and he says he's a longtime listener. He said he tried to call. Boy, I wish you would call, because I'd rather talk to you about this, Bradley, than read your email out loud, but I'm going to do it. He said, I do agree with your statement that we need many capable people working at the polls. However, I was taken aback that you would suggest that if we have too many left-leaning people working at the polls, we'd experience chicanery. There are some left-leaning on some policies, Americans and Christians, who want the same thing. The method of getting there is just different. I want to remind you that Democrats and left-leaning individuals are not the enemy. Satan is. Well, that's interesting, Bradley. There's so many things that I'd like to talk to you about. First of all, let's go to the last thing that you said. When we fight a war, like when my dad was in World War II, I think he considered the Germans people, even though, you know, the German soldiers were his enemy. Yeah, I mean, the real enemy was Satan, because Adolf Hitler was controlled by Satan. We know now he was very much into satanic worship. But the real enemy was Satan. But the German soldiers, in human terms, my father considered the enemy. And I think when we talk about the left being our enemy now, it's the same but different. Of course, we're fighting against principalities and powers that we can't see. But in the flesh, we've got a lot of people out in the streets right now who are doing harm, who are killing people, murdering, assassinating, and intimidating. It's horrendous what's happening. And I believe they are our enemy. There's a lot more to say here. You talk about left-leaning Christians. I believe, yeah, there are some left-leaning Christians who would certainly not want dishonesty to overtake the polling places. I'm going to have to come back with this because it's too complex for me to finish quickly. Hey, listen, I appreciate your comments. I do, and I want to talk about it a little bit more when we return. This is Sandy Rios in the morning. Oh, and you can call 888-589-8840.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. We as God's people need to be good stewards of all that He has given us. That is so important, and that's what drives me each day as I break down the latest financial numbers and talk to listeners across the country about their use of the money that God has entrusted to them. Join me each morning from 8 to 10 Central and Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock Central Time for Financial Issues right here on American Family Radio.
Blended families face a lot of challenges, primarily nurturing love between the newly merged family members. On the next Focus on the Family, Dr. Gary Chapman and Ron Deal equip you to explore how to incorporate the five love languages in the mix of a blended family. With compassion and insight, they offer creative ways to build loving relationships. Next time on Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. A friend of mine who pastors a church in Nigeria once said to me, "You know, America has sent more missionaries into the world than any other nation before it. But the nation that once sent missionaries has now become the mission field." As you consider the calling God has for you, I just want to remind you that just as other nations need missionaries, we need missionaries in America, too. There are a lot of neighborhoods right here in our country that desperately need evangelism and discipleship. Let's not forget about them.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. We've been following Democrat efforts to turn the United States entirely into a vote-by-mail system. This is because vote-by-mail opens up a myriad of opportunities to cheat. Now we find that if that doesn't work, they're building a special litigation unit comprised of more than 600 lawyers to contest any election result they don't like in November. If they lose the election, they will tie America up in court for months. We may not know who our president is until next year. Renegade Chief Justice John Roberts very likely will wind up choosing our next president for us. The Democrats have made it clear by their enthusiastic support for the Marxist Black Lives Matter movement that they're through playing nice. If they can't win by cheating at the mailbox, they intend to win by cheating in court.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump has commendably intervened to prevent a Chinese application called TikTok from continuing to vacuum up personal and other sensitive data from American customers. In response to his insistence that the app had to be sold to a U.S. company by September 15th, its owner, ByteDance, reached a last-minute agreement with Oracle. The trouble is, there's no way to be sure that Chinese Communist Party security services and the companies that support them would actually stop exploiting this app for malevolent purposes, even if Oracle actually owned it and could fully bring to bear that corporation's considerable technical skills for the purpose. But that's not the case. So China can still operate to TikTok users' detriment and our nation's. President Trump is expected to be briefed by his experts today on the inadequacy of this arrangement. Just say no, Mr. President. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, Sandy Rios back with you, and I'm going to go to the phones in just one second. I just want to say I've heard from tons of you who have applied to be poll workers, and I hope more of you are going to apply to be poll workers. That means get a job. Don't go in and volunteer. Actually go to work. Melody in Westerville, Ohio has said that she completed the application. Also, Stephanie, and I don't know where she's from, but she's telling us that you can work at other polling places, but it needs to be in your county. So someone had asked that question. I know it doesn't have to be necessarily your precinct, but you need to be in your county, according to Stephanie. And this is from Ken in Arkansas. He said he's completed the training And he said Arkansas is all over this. He said they have a great, they've thought of everything. The voting machines are great, everything. And he said the integrity of our Arkansas vote is secure. And he's very proud of that. And so now this is from Tony, who asks me if I could talk about to poll workers and tell us what to look for with voting irregularities. Tony, I think the trainers will do that. I'm trusting that they will, I guess, depending on where you are. I am not able to do that right now, but I know there's information available, even if you just look online. Look at stuff from Hans von Spakovsky and our friend J. Christian Adams, because that's their bailiwick, and they'll have all kinds of stuff available. So it's there if you just look for it. I want to go back to Bradley before I go to the phones. Bradley, again, is a pastor in Indiana. And I want to respond to Bradley because he listens all the time. And Bradley, I'm so glad. I really am so glad, because I have kind of an anger against the left and the church right now. And you're defending them a little bit. And I understand that. You say they're not our enemy. Satan is. And they want the same things that people who are right-leaning Christians want. And I want to respond to that. I guess left-leaning Christians, Americans, and Christians want the same thing. I do believe that most left-leaning, genuine Christians want honesty at the polls. But since they are, I have to say, Bradley, believing lies, you can see it by their behavior and the things they're embracing. I'm not so confident as you are that they can distinguish lies from truth. I'm really not. You know, some things are a little more black and white than they used to be. Or it used to be that it was a difference that, you know, the Democrats wanted this and the Republicans wanted that. And they all loved the country. John Kennedy was a patriot. Others were patriots. But they had a different viewpoint of how to get there. We're not there anymore. We're not there anymore. We really have such a firm, strong line. The Democrats want to destroy and deconstruct and do away with the Constitution and plus a ton of other moral things. They want to embrace transgenderism, and they already love gay marriage. They want to do away with God and the schools, and more so than what it is now. God and the country, I guess, would be a better explanation. They want to talk about social justice, and I'm sure that's part that kind of pulls you in a little bit, I'm guessing. But you have to understand that social justice, by the left's definition, is not God's justice. God doesn't talk about people because of color being mistreated. He talks about all people, all the poor and the oppressed, regardless of the color. So this has taken on a racial tinge that I don't recognize in Scripture. And so I don't have the faith that the left portion of the church, the left-leaning portion, has a heart for real honesty. I don't. I think they are believing lies, and that really bothers me. What we're seeing now is Marxism, not Christianity. And I can talk to you more about that at some point, but I don't think we do want the same thing. So that's a challenge to you, Bradley, because you're a pastor, and I'm sure you're into this all the time, and perhaps you can respond, maybe even call me, not today, but someday we can actually have a longer conversation about it. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Lori in Oklahoma. Hi, Lori.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I wanted
my pleasure.
To share something that recently happened at my church. And I have a young pastor. He's lovely. I know that he loves the Lord. You know, his children, last week they brought a special speaker. We'll just give him the initials, JC. And he is a local so-called ordained pastor who has run for the Democratic office. He is a gentleman that is a black guy. He's been seen and photographed with people such as Kamala Harris. He's been seen posting up images of people holding up the Black Power fist, not necessarily saying that he endorses Black Lives Matter, but not saying that he's calling them out for any of their conduct. Well, the reason that they brought him, they said, was to talk about a real difficult subject matter, race, grace, and the gospel. And it almost seemed a little bit rehearsed, you know, when they did things like tagged off of each other, what they talked about with regards to grace and God and Jesus. All that was on point, but it was a little toxic interjections that were so little and so subtle that if people weren't constantly being educated by truth tellers regarding the Marxist organization, the ideology, the critical race theory, they would not be able to identify the things that slipped in. Now, one of our ladies, who is a part of the congregation, she had reached out both to the guy that spoke, and she reached out to the associate pastor and was asking, what was the real reason for bringing him? This, you know, doesn't seem like the time to bring him. You know, he has stood up, and he's aligned himself with this, and he's aligned himself with that. And basically, she was just asking without an attitude. And she called me, and she told me, and she said, Lori, he told me I couldn't possibly understand because I was a rich white woman. I about lost my breath.
The pastor said, is the pastor said this?
The associate pastor said this. I told her, I said, the very statement that came out of his mouth is a racist statement, regardless of the color of his skin. You cannot decide that we have the ability to discern things or understand things based on the color of our skin. That alone is racist. And that is what's happening to the churches today. The churches are being lulled away by this, like it's a toxic, sweet, candy-coated poison that's destroying. And we've got to figure out a way to come together and tell the truth in a way that they can't deny it. And I'm telling you, Sandy, we can't do it loud enough. Now, I'm not talking about protests and screaming and riotings. I'm against that 100%. But God's word is true. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And something is happening to the people in the body of Christ today to lull them to sleep.
Yeah. Lori, I could talk to you forever. You're very eloquent, and you've laid it out beautifully. And I can tell that you have a good understanding yourself of what's happening here. Let me just say that this is happening in churches all over, as you just said. And I would just, a couple of challenges. I wish that we could spend the whole show on this. But we are not helping our black brothers and sisters by encouraging their racism. They are being encouraged to be racist to whites. We see it on the streets. God is not about that. I contrast that with Dr. Martin Luther King's protests, which were amazing, really, in humility. He, of course, believed in nonviolence, no violence whatsoever. They were always ladies. The guys were gentlemen, and they talked about God's word. They did not preach racism, and it was a very different time. I think maybe that would be one way, if we could bridge the gap and help people understand, that might be the way to do it, to talk about what Martin Luther King did. But this young pastor, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's being seduced by something that's very dangerous. And so I guess, Lori, there's enough information out there that you could pass on if you dare to do it. And if you just speak up, let's just speak up where you are. I guess we have to start in our own churches. We can't take on the whole nation, whole denomination or whatever. But we can take on our church in a respectful way, but strong. We should not be apologizing for our very deep convictions that this is just wrong. It's Marxism. Marx, of course, used race. He used it way back when he was writing his manifesto to create oppressors and the oppressed. This is the tool that Marxists use. And so we just have to educate ourselves and educate others. And God bless you, Lori, for pointing that out. Let's go to Monty in Virginia. Hello, Monty. How are you this morning?
Wonderful. Let me just quickly talk so that I can let somebody else get on the line. But, Sandy, when Joe Biden back in the 80s, as much plagiarism as he has done, if he wants to mandate the mask when he becomes president of the United States, certainly we can get Donald Trump to come to AFR radio station and mandate that everyone listen to the most wonderful radio station in the world.
Well, Monty, I might try that. I listen. I think that's a great idea. Yeah, that mask mandate just gives me the creeps. And he will do that. I just can't believe how many people are happily complying with that. I am astounded. I don't know if I mentioned Daniel Horowitz's. I think I did in passing. I think yesterday we posted it. But I think he called it Masquerade. I believe that was the title of the article, something like that, where he talked about he cited so many studies about the worthlessness of masks. So it's not only worthless, but it's making people so strange. I went to get my hair done yesterday, and all the women had to wear masks, including me. And it's just interfered with personal relationships in such a way. It makes people act very strangely. It shuts us off from social discourse. It lets us hide. It's not a good thing, and I just hope and pray, if for that reason to know whether that Joe Biden does not prevail in November. Thanks a lot, Monty. Let's go to Lynn in Arkansas. Good morning, Lynn.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say I called while you were gone one day and told about something that happened in our town, and it was a city council meeting that they had at 2:30 in the morning, and where they decided to partially defund the police. I haven't investigated it except for I did call the police station, and the policeman called me when he was off so he could talk more freely.
Yeah, but, so Lynn, what do you need to tell us? You know, what's the bottom line?
The bottom line is that I tried to find out more about local people, and somebody told me who I could talk to, and I actually knew more than he did. So I'm searching for information on local people, okay. And all I was going to say is now I'm searching for a local radio station where maybe they talk about these things. I don't know what your advice is.
Are you talking about like county races and stuff like that, school board and all that? Yeah.
Yes, because our city council is all liberal, and there was only one dissenter in this meeting.
Okay, this is my advice quickly. Find someone in your area who really is keyed in, a person, a friend, an acquaintance, that's a leader, maybe a local leader that you trust, or a neighbor that you trust, somebody who is on the city council, and ask them, and then spread the word. That's the best way to do it. I think sometimes there are local outlets that are conservative, but not enough. And I'm finding that the left is, with the help of George Soros money, they have introduced all these local outlets that have like names like the Arkansas Gazette. I'm just making that up. But they have very friendly names, but they actually are, they propose as conservative outlets, but they really aren't. And it's kind of like the thing we just talked about, the creeping Marxism in those discussions of racial justice. So it's, it disguises itself, but that's what my advice to you. My practical advice is find someone there that you can trust and pick their brain on it and take notes and then spread those notes around. That's the best way. Maybe if you can figure out the best, then you can post it on Facebook and share it that way. So I hope that works for you, Lynn. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Brenda in Brenda, Virginia. Good morning, Brenda.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. I just wanted to thank you really quickly for letting everyone know that today is Constitutional Day. I am a constitutionalist. You can buy a constitution with a nice preamble and the Bill of Rights from Amazon. Comes in a little plastic sleeve. They're 99 cents. You can get up to 80 per order. I pass them out at the gas station. I pass them out at the grocery store. More people need to know what's in there or they're going to lose everything. And we need to push the constitution and protect it as much as possible.
Yep. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brenda. Yeah, no, that's a great reminder. Thank you. You underscored the importance of this day, and I really appreciate it. Reminds me very much of the children of Israel who, under the reign of the king, whose name I can't remember in this moment, didn't even know the Ten Commandments. They didn't know the law. They had the temple had been destroyed, and so somehow somebody found something in there, and they decided to clean it up, and lo and behold, they found the law. And the king called all the people after they cleaned the temple up to come in and hear the reading of the law. It was the first time they'd ever heard it. Let's not let that happen. Don't let that happen to our children. I know that God's law is not the Constitution. I'm not confused. But the Constitution is based on God's law. It is. And when you read it, you'll see it. The three branches of government were patterned after the Trinity. The men that founded this nation had tremendous respect for Christianity. Many of them were serious Christians, pastors. Not all of them. A couple of them were not. But most of them were. And at the very least, they had tremendous respect for the Bible and for Christianity. So it is an incredible document, and it is Constitution Day. And so follow Brenda's suggestion just there, or my suggestion, and get a copy and start, you know, reading it. My husband and I are going to do that, too. He doesn't know that, but he's heard me. He's listening this morning. Okay, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom.